Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Tuesday, November 16th, 2004. This forum is a discussion of the strategic goals. It's discussing particularly Goal 1 of the current strategic plan, led by co-directors Janet Grant and Diane Shiner, as well as Operations Manager Christopher Gillia and Business Manager Molly Archer. Session number FO2004-06. Let's listen in.
Since Diane and I became directors, we have had a set of goals with strategies for each goal that we have been using as our guide map.
Five-year plan?
Yep, the five-year plan. And that one's just the...
There's some extra copies of the whole thing if people want to.
Oh, okay, great, thanks. And for the last several years, two or three years, we have been using different ways of getting feedback about these particular strategies from the community. And this year, it was decided that we would do a forum for each strategy. So each month of the next four, there will be one of the four strategies that Diane, Christopher, Molly, and I will each take one to lead. And that has been the pattern we've worked on since we started. We each kind of took the lead on a particular goal. And the goal that I'm working with tonight and have been, and we've all worked on actually, is offering challenging and practical resources for living faithfully as a goal. And we also agreed that we would report back to the next community meeting, which won't be until December 2nd. Well, Diane, will you take notes for that report? And it is being recorded, so for people who might want to listen to what we have to say. So we all have to be very brilliant in what we say. What I passed out to you is just goal number one and the five strategies that were originally created for that. And along with that, a baseline, where we were when we started, and what would be a success measurement if we were there. So what I'd like to do tonight is I'm going to go over each one of the strategies, and say a few things about what we've accomplished so far to this point. And then what the big sheets of paper are for, so I'd like for us to talk about what are things we might consider doing in the next year to further accomplish this goal. As you know, new directors will be called and arrive likely next summer, and it will be their responsibility then to create strategies that will be their guide map for the next several years. So we're looking at the next year, what could be reasonably accomplished and what makes sense. So, first, that makes sense? People?
But Jim, you might want to explain, because the yellow sheets have 1B lined out.
Yeah, I will when I get there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. I just say a few things, and people can also chime in with things that you know that we've done or you think that we've done that accomplish those particular strategies. Strategy 1A is to provide practical and transportable resources, and this is mostly about the resource center. Good Courage used to be a separate publication, now is incorporated in the newspaper. That's something that's happened in these last 4 years. Resource center continues to be a place as well as a concept or an idea where Diane Armbrust has been real key in that in the last two and a half years, keeping things before the community. We're also very aware that how we live is very much here is very much something that's transportable. An example I reported to the board last year was the Crowder family, who left here about a year and a half ago, and they reported back that they had learned about fair trade bananas in this place, tried to live it out while they're here, and chose to live that out in their new home in Kennewick. So how we live here, the things we learn, is also a transportable, practical thing, resource that people take away. I'm going to go. Does anybody want to say anything else? Any other practical transportable resources? Not worship resources at this point that you think of that are come to mind.
You mean of examples?
Examples that have happened.
Oh, I think one of the ones I really love is that people go home and do the hunger meal at home. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't feel pressured.
Garbo.
Huh?
Garbo.
Garbo. Mm-hmm. People recycle better. Seek that out. Another one of those how we live here things that people take away. I'll probably use the backs of any paper I use when I leave here. Never use paper that's clean on one side and never throw it away. Well, I'm going to move on to go through all of them and then we can talk about some ideas that we have. Is that okay? 1B is creating new resources for worship practices. And you'll see on the sheet you have that, as Diane pointed out, that's crossed out. Last year, as we looked at this strategy, we said this strategy is working. We don't need to put new energy into that it's working. We could suggest that would be different this year. But we have had a number of things that relate to this. The liturgical conference we have done two times, 2004 and 2002. One of the goals was to have that become an established rhythm and every other year. My hope is that it would happen in 2006 as well, but I think we leave that to new directors and their vision. We have had Rolf Vegdahl's music has been published into a little booklet that we sell in the store. Ben Stewart created an occasional blessings booklet. Scott has written a number of pieces for us, theme songs as well as things that we've done through the year. Emily has done some writing for us. Jeshua Erickson wrote a liturgy that we used last year. Mountain Vespers was written here not too many years ago. And we've been a part of the Renewing Worship book. You know, it looks like a new book, new hymnal here, but it really is a process that we have entered into. Scott has participated in the conference this fall, or whatever they call that consultation, or that you went to with the Renewing Worship. So a variety of things, that's why it's crossed out, is that we feel like we're doing okay with that one. But it doesn't mean we don't want to continue doing it, but that we're on a roll with that. 1C, offering support to for the practice of discernment. When we just started out this process, spiritual directors in the village in the summertime was a pilot project. Now that's clearly established as a practice that we use, and in fact we have spiritual directors come throughout the winter as well, off and on, about once a month. So that has become a staple. This last year's summer theme clearly was around discernment, summon out what we shall be. 1D is encouraging a milieu of learning within the winter community. And as we a baseline for that was that the winter community was pretty consumed with life in itself here in the village, doing the jobs that we have to do. There were few sessions each week of learning in the winter community, varieties of book studies and that sort of thing. That sort of thing continues. Last year we had some guest teachers in the winter who came and served us, and I clearly feel like the Lilly grant that we have received now moves us ahead with this. It's clearly one of the goals of that. Particular proposal was for a winter time opportunity for learning together. And then finally, 1E, educate and train people to dismantle racism. This one was added about 2 years ago, midway, when we started realizing we had one. Was it added here or was it added in another one?
This is the one where it was added by Carnegie.
Rick Einstrom, one of our board members, at the early on. And it was pretty modest, continues to be pretty modest in its goals. It's really to train people, give people training who are on staff here, so that they might deal with diversity issues. We have and had a number of outreach groups come over the years now, in the last 3 or 4 years, and of course 2 years of Operando now behind her. And we, the last summer, had three, the fourth one got canceled because of the fire, anti-racism workshops here in the village in the summertime. Anybody want to add anything before we start kind of thinking about, well, what would be next for any one of these?
Certainly strategy 1E, hiring an outreach coordinator. Mm-hmm. Or did you already say that?
Pardon?
Did you already mention
that? No, hiring? I didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I'd like to do is just...
I'm curious. It says short-term staff and guests are provided a taste of a focused assignment process.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that's done with workshops that are offered, or is that something short-term staff and guests can seek out? Or?
What that is has been lived out largely through spiritual direction so far. I think, you know, you might be intimating that there could be more to that.
No, I was just wondering, because I'm terribly new to this.
The long-term staff can have availed themselves, a number have, to a discernment process of a group of peers here in the village. And that doesn't mean it's not available to others, but I don't know, I can't recall any short-term staff who have done that. You're a long-term, and it would be more likely that someone in that your kind of a role would avail themselves of that.
Jenny, haven't you taught like at least one session each winter about what discernment is?
Yeah, I've done some years. I've done some of that sort of thing and worked with the staff coordinators to create opportunities for people.
Mm-hmm.
What things need to happen, do you think, so we can further accomplish these goals? Do we need to say, oh, we're doing great with that, let's not worry about it? Do we need to reinstate 1B? What are your thoughts? And it can be on any one of them. I'll jump around.
Well, one for me is that I think one of the things that we learned in the evacuation process is the usefulness of the web. Mm-hmm. And there's two particular parts of the web that I really think could use some particular attention this year. One is the resource page on the web. I think that it could use some support in general, not putting it all on Diane, but our Thursday advocacy issues. I think there's a variety of things that we could put onto the web for continuing use. And the other thing is the development of an audio portion to the website so that samples of sessions and things like that, now that we're digitalizing what we have in the village, it's possible that that could also be available outside of the village.
I would second that because I look at the web every now and then and see what's happening.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
and you'd be interested in...
Mm-hmm. I do go to the web and see what's going on. Mm-hmm.
Emily, I was saying before you got here that 1B is crossed out because we thought we were being so successful at it that we didn't need to pursue
it. Right.
Of course. So. doesn't mean that there might be more ideas. So. Mm-hmm. It does mean that we want to continue the good work that we've been doing.
Under 1C, I guess I've been bothered by the, I mean, I really appreciate the fact that Holden lifts up the idea of having a discernment group, but what bothers me about it is that it's usually presented in the context of, do you need discernment about whether or not to stay or go for a second year?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather just have it lifted up as a process that anybody could go through, whether they're short or long term, and that it could be discernment about any area in your life,
mm-hmm.
that this is something we would help one another with.
I would also say, not particular to the wording here, I think this wording is pretty clear, but in other literature and areas, there's a sense that discernment really just means like to a rostered call in the church. We're going to help you discern your call to ministry, whether that be ordained or lay leadership. And so being really intentional about language, because I think the purpose of this is not that, but to do what Eric is saying, so to better do that, make it pretty clear that we're not just talking about helping you if you think you might be called to ministry, but regardless of where God is calling you. That's not the right word.
Is that okay?
Anywhere that God might be calling you is where we help you win discernment. Yeah. Watch exclusive language. We want to be inclusive of wherever God is calling.
Did you talk about resources for the road?
No.
I feel like that, like a website, could be used better too. Right? Could do more than that.
Any ideas about that? Suggestions?
I tend to think of the advocacy kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or of lifestyle kind of thing.
I think simple, I'm taking on with Scott, simple things like lifestyle, things like composting, how to build a compost bin, or, you know, simple kind of things that we totally take for granted here that are really somewhat different for a person living in the middle of the city. Or there was this great article on living cheaply and, you know, budgeting money and watching where you buy your food and what you're purchasing to live less than an excessive lifestyle.
I look at all of them, I think of 1D as the area of sort of the most need or something like that. And it seems like it remains a struggle to both figure out topics, resources, time, you know, that's really nourishing to the learner community. And so one thought that I have is whether included in the long-term process, you know, coming onto long-term staff, there could be question or conversation about this area in terms of so that it's sort of presented up front that the hope of the community is to be a learning community in the winter, and what would that mean for you, or what would you seek to role in something that would encourage thinking about this from the very beginning.
I would also want to tag on that learning within the Winter community does not necessarily mean that we have to bring in outside resources. Mm-hmm. That we have such rich resources, I would say every single year, you know, no matter what, who is here, mm-hmm. that to be able to learn from one another and how to facilitate that. The other thing, not necessarily related to 1D, but related to all of them, is that looking at goal one and the overall thing is saying, oh, offer challenging and practical resources. And then the individual strategies, I'm not hearing challenging coming up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I mean, most specifically in 1A, it's about practical and transportable, but where is it that we're challenging people and saying that we're about transformation here?
Mm-hmm.
How do you tie that back?
Yeah, I've been sitting here trying to think of how to, all the practical or transportable resources I can think of are telling people to do this or do that in accordance with my left-wing agenda, and I'm trying to figure out how to be challenging without being dogmatic, but perhaps the rest of you have a lot better ideas about challenging resources than I do.
Yeah,
I
have a question.
Well, what should we do about that?
Well, I think in some ways we're already doing it. It's just that it wasn't lifted up in the current language.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see, I mean, this is something that's that would be challenging to people here and people who are in, you know, who leave Holden after being visitors here, and something that's challenging about the community learning in the winter, and challenging about so something that's challenging in general. It's the lack of downtime, Sabbath rest, the kind of hurried, busy American lifestyle that Holden does. This is coming out really convoluted, but I feel a lot more rested and less stressed out here than I do anywhere else in America. It's still not a completely relaxed place. I mean, we have work to do, and everyone does, but how can we challenge guests and how can we offer challenging resources, challenging people to, you know, work only 40 hours a week and spend the rest of their time with their family and friends building community and worshiping and making their communities better places rather than doing like I used to and spending 50 or 60 hours a week at their job, whether it's whether it's corporate profit mongering or nonprofit world saving or anything in between. I guess that comes up for me because that's something that I need the most help on.
Lots of people do.
I just toss out kind of a brainstorm and trying to sketch out here. What would it be like to have some of the Winter community or all of it participate in trying to develop study guides that could be shared with congregations? So I think a lot of our impact is on individuals, but I often get the sense that a lot of people who come to Holden go back to the congregations and are frustrated that their congregations don't quote-unquote get it, or they don't know how to share with it, or and I wonder if a study guide or that kind of a resource could be a way for congregations to kind of jump on to what we're trying to do here, and if that could be linked with Winter Learning Community, that don't know, Lily Grant with this or whatever, but if some time could be devoted during the course of the winter to developing those kind of resources. And it's not like we need to develop all of them ourselves, there's lots of them out there too, so it could be a research thing also. But I just wonder if that would be, Holden's name has some currency in congregations and it could use it to study.
And it could also be a way, in conjunction with the winter learning community, of incorporating the next summer's theme into the winter community life, so that, for instance, this winter we would be working on a study guide to prepare ourselves, but then as a tool for people to take home in the summer when we're talking about sacred time and holy ground.
Another aspect of that also is almost inadvertently, Kristen's banners, the theme art, are now circulating. Mm-hmm. And when I see them out of the context of here, I remember the theme that it was attached to. And it would be very interesting if we had something that went with the banners as they go to congregations, that would be a study guide, a focus thing, or something like that.
You could even make it interactive and invite congregations to suggest, you know, what are the struggles that they're dealing with, that they want help with, an initial idea.
Where do I put that?
Somewhere. Well, but also go off under, well, that's more individual, I guess. I mean, that kind of fits under support for the practice of discernment as well. If it's a thing that a congregation is struggling with, there's some discernment going on in there. But I think also, not to put words in Scott's mouth or to get totally off track if this was where he was going, but study guides that have to do with some of our practices as well. So it's not just about the theme or stuff, but about basic living. Why are we reconciling in Christ congregation? Here's that they have a study guide that you can follow, and here's where you can find it. Mm-hmm. Why do we use expansive language? Here's a Bible study that works through that. And
that could go on the website.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you could do these studies during the summer here, and people could have experience of participating in them before they try to take them back to the congregation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Say that again, I'm sorry.
Instead of just producing the guides, we could actually do the studies during the summer, and people who come here would have experience of participating in the
participate
studies.
In the
and
process.
They could go out and they get experience of how it works. It works.
Seems like from the way we've been talking that we're feeling really good about creating resources for worship practices and dismantling racism. Mm.
No, not Wendy.
No.
Okay, you can say something.
I know that Jane is already trying to think about ways to improve. I think one thing is to continue the commitment to regular summer. But that's the one that we're going to keep.
Training?
Training. Thank you very much. And that Jane, with other people in the community, can think about how to keep improving that and making it more challenging.
I want to mention, Jen, that Jane really lobbied to move this session to a time when she was going to be here.
Oh, really?
She was interested in the topics, mm-hmm. but it just didn't work in terms of getting it
done.
Mm-hmm. Your schedule and community meeting schedule and everything else.
Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. So she really did want to be here as part of that conversation. So I'd seek her out.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a whole, that dismantling racism and the creating the worship resources for worship practice goes into this the study guide thing as well, as far as taking it home. If we have trainers here or trained people here to lead an anti-racism seminar, would they have resources for participants to take home to facilitate the same thing, or have connections elsewhere so that you can find so-and-so in your near your community who might come in to lead a session, so that
Do you have a sense of the number of guests that participated in the anti-racism training?
Last summer?
Yeah.
I would say around maybe 150.
Yeah.
I would say at least 50 each time. But we only did it twice with guests.
Okay.
But the first one was very well attended.
Yeah. And then we did the one in May with staff, which was a large group. Right. So we were going to do three, but the third one got canceled.
Yeah.
So 100 or 100 to 125.
Okay. Part of it is we've been scheduling against it. So the only show in town is the Titans.
The first time.
Right.
We didn't, yeah.
Oh, the second
time. Second time I think we scheduled, we let crafts do something. But that's why the first one was the world. And plus we had some board members here who were really interested in promoting it and help with that, I think, in the community. Yeah.
What strikes me in 1E is, we've been talking about the crew, about how wonderful the strengths at this point is.
In the crew.
Being,
Didn't you say in the crew?
Not the crew, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was great, in the crew.
In the crew.
In the crew.
Is that one of our strengths is being a safe community for GLBT folks. And maybe we aren't at the same place with racism. And I guess my limited experience of the one we're trying to do here, as well as some outside villages, I wonder if it would be good to look towards other resources outside the local community for doing that. Because I'm not against it's one of our strengths as a village.
Doing the training?
Yeah, or just dealing with the issue in general. Because I could list half a dozen organizations that I think do a really solid job, and they may take more money than we have, but I wasn't overly impressed by the training we had here compared to what I had other places.
They were trained by probably some of those same organizations you did, so it's kind of one just removed out.
Kelly, what were you going to say?
Well, I'm trying to find the words to say it. I think part of it, I think there is definitely a deep relationship between our Christianity and dismantling racism. But in agreeing with Scott, I also would say at times during this past one, and it's easy to be critical, it felt the relationship between Christianity and dismantling racism almost felt a little bit contrived.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost would move to, having a secular anti-racism training, and maybe we can talk about, how to integrate the two afterwards, or what does this mean in our Christian life, but rather than throughout it pull in Christian themes and us Lutherans and all of that stuff, to leave all that out and focus on anti-racism. And then later, if we want to refer back to it in conversations, small groups and everything, about how this works into our daily lives as Christians, then go there.
Mm-hmm. So like in the summer, if we had that training in the two afternoons like we did this summer, then a forum later in the week where we had in this room gathering of people that wanted to say, well, so what does that mean to me if I'm going to live a Christian life?
Yes.
Life?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good concern that, to me it just sounds better to say we're anti-racist because it's the right thing to do, and we're Christian, rather than we're anti-racist because we're Christian. I mean, it seems like anti-racist, well, never mind. It's all just semantics.
I think part of where this is coming from is a lot of our conversations, and the one that I went through, I didn't go through the bigger staff one, but it just got sidetracked a lot of times. don't have a specific example right now, but anyway.
I think it's also important in 1E to talk about the limitations in being a Lutheran Christian retreat center in the racism struggle, the anti-racism struggle. We are limited in resources that speak to Spanish-speaking people, African-American people, Asian people, you know, people from all over the place. So we also are in the mountains, which is not necessarily accessible for people of color who also happen to be a majority of poor people in our greater culture. So talking about the barriers that are just already in place, mm-hmm. that are very racist, but that I don't know we can do a lot about from where we're sitting, but to be kind of open about that.
Although I think probably one of the biggest things that I learned in training was that racism, at least as presented, was primarily a white problem. And this is the audience. And so I'm not sure. I think becoming a more diverse village is related to this, but it's not the same thing.
Yeah, I was just going to ask.
I'm going to say that's why this goal was pretty modest. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not, we're going to have 35% Latinos here every summer mm-hmm. by 2005. It was, we're going to talk to the white people mm-hmm. about their problem mm-hmm. or their racism and help encourage them then to go away from here to continue their search or struggle or resources. Mm-hmm. So I think...
Yeah,
I think that's what you were saying.
That's what I'm trying to say, is that we have to then be very aware of what our limitations are.
Right.
Before we can overcome any of them, we have to name them and be aware of what they are.
Whether we're here or
right.
in Wenatchee or
right.
here.
Right.
Yeah.
I have another brand new villager question.
Those are good questions.
Is the central goal of this of strategy 1E to make the village more diverse, more racially diverse, or is the central goal to dismantle racism by, educating everyone who comes?
The central goal is to educate and train.
Okay, I guess I
as a first step towards mm-hmm. those other goals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because exactly.
Because we knew we would fail at those other two
yeah.
5 years.
Yeah.
We're being realistic.
Yeah.
There are other goals under which there are mm-hmm. racism strategies mm-hmm. that are a little more related to steps we could take to become more diverse. Mm-hmm.
Including getting an outreach coordinator and that sort of thing. So, in fact, of all four goals, we kind of have some sort of element looking at racism mm-hmm. in all four goals. A little bit of a stretch with the physical plant.
Well, I heartily applaud Holden's efforts, both in education and just trying to, through education and directly, trying to become more racially diverse, because this is a terribly difficult struggle for, thing to work on for lack of spending 5 minutes talking about characteristics of cooperative communities, I'll just say it's hard to attract non-white people to a place like this that seems at first glance very quote-unquote granola. And the cooperative eating organization, the cooperative food organization I ate in college, it was so hard to get non-white students interested in eating cooperatively because people see it as being something for only white hippies. I'm very impressed at Holden's.
It's a step.
Yes.
It's good.
I mean, people coming down here often said how much this reminded them of. home, right, in Mexico, so there's
there's that side
to that. And I wonder if we couldn't do more with Abriendo itself and her preparation for it in this area. I mean, we did a little bit of learning some Spanish here and there last summer. I kind of expected that we'd be doing some serious anti-racism stuff leading up to Abriendo as staff. And maybe I missed some of that, but it just seems like, in itself, Abriendo is a great success, and we could do more in terms of this whole strategy with Abriendo as a focus for us.
I'm wondering how, as Holden is training people to dismantle racism and doing workshops, how is Holden then empowering people to make that a transportable resource and take that out of the village?
One of the hopes with the trainers that we had this summer, they were trained to be available in the synod to go to congregations. Mm-hmm. The hope was that people would take their card and go home. I'm not sure if that happened. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we can track that. I suppose we could track it with Alex
knows, and from what I heard, they haven't been terribly successful, just in general.
In general.
So Holden
didn't help their problem as much as... Mm-hmm.
It would seem that would, really kind of encouraging that would, help make Holden a more diverse place. Holden, most people find out about Holden, it seems, through word of mouth. And as people are getting out of their congregations and encouraging more people to talk about dismantling racism, including more diversity, and then inviting maybe folks that they know who are non-white to come to Holden and participate in that. Sort of things that are going on at Holden?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I'll just toss out the kind of devil's advocate side of that, that I think it'd be good for Holden to encourage people to leave this essentially white place and go out and be more involved in the diversity of their own communities. Rather than trying to make Holden sound more diverse, which is enough to fun, really, we should be inspiring ourselves to go out and become more part of
I would agree with that. I think the effort to make Holden more diverse is hard because your base is not, our churches don't have a percent of Hispanics in them because they don't want to come to there because they want to go to church where there's other Hispanics at, Mm-hmm. So you're trying to say, well, we're going to drag people, try to encourage them coming, that's fine, but it's not a place that I think they would naturally feel comfortable. And I wasn't part of this, what's your Spanish word here?
Abriendo.
Well, what does that mean exactly?
The way.
Opening
the way.
And that was held in the middle of the summer sometime?
Yeah, in August.
In August.
Second week of August, the last 2 years.
And I'm just curious who comes, because I think of the Hispanic people I know, they're mostly laborers out in the fields in central Washington. They make their money at this time of year. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be able to come up here at this time of year. You're mm-hmm. not going to reach them anyway.
That there's a committee that Diane's a part of and has led, and that is now pretty much equally white and Hispanic, mm-hmm. that has really struggled with that issue. Might you want to address that?
Yeah, there was a lot of conversation in the very beginning when the concept of Abriendo was speaking right to the concern about bringing a few people of a different race or something like that into a dominantly white community isn't very comfortable. And so the intention was to create a week of great effort to make this be a comfortable community, meaning a certain volume, language, food practices, culture in which people could be comfortable. And that might eventually splash out into volunteering, board, all the rest of it. But you have to start by trying to create an experience of something relatively familiar. And so when the conversation was held in the beginning about, so who is it that can come? And we started talking about when can there be a week. Well, if you just think of Pacific Northwest, the growing season in every area, strawberries is different than cherries is different than apples is different than this. There was, and then the fragility of those jobs and people's fear that if they're gone for a week, let alone they lose the income, but they might lose their job if they don't go back to. It was believed that basically the farm workers were not an appropriate group to try to come. But the growing population of people who are leaving the fields in usually into service jobs in the schools and McDonald's and other kinds of things, and they're beginning to take steps toward stability. Basically, the families of the kids that come here for outdoor education were looking at them and were saying, you know, these kids remember when their sister came 2 years ago, et cetera. They're in these communities and they're relatively stable. So that we were, that was the primary group that we were trying to reach for. Mm-hmm. And I would say we've had moderate success. I mean, there's a long ways to go, but there were certainly people that came the first year whose husbands couldn't come because of agriculturally related practices, but women came with their children and then went back and, you know, now gotten some of their husbands involved and so on. It's a slow, slow process that has to have a really long-term commitment. But I completely don't believe that the nature of Holden being in the wilderness or being Lutheran or whatever means that we can never look different than we do now. I feel that so deeply that we have to move in that direction very carefully and mostly with dialogue so we learn how to do it. Otherwise we just perpetuate the whiteness of the place.
Out of curiosity, is that what you heard me saying earlier?
There was just one little part of what you said, something about accessibility. You said something about that this wasn't accessible to
limitations.
Yeah.
Not everything you said, but just there was one thing about how I've heard people say things like, those people won't come here because they're afraid of the wilderness and things like that, and
I really liked what Everett and Scott were saying about you know, yes, it's important to keep doing the slow uphill climb, but also that what people do when they go back to their communities and how anti-racist they are is a really important and attainable part of this goal. And is there any, how practical can we get with this? I'd love to just make a list of, you know, for guests here, if they come to a workshop, say, you know, do you work in banking? Make sure your bank isn't discriminating in lending. Or do you work are you in human resources? Make sure your company isn't discriminating in hiring. I know that's all splitting hairs, but what can we do that's practical that isn't just educating people about how to not be racist in their daily social interactions, but how do we educate people about how to break down the structure of racism, the logistical parts of racism?
I think that'll come out of the training. I think those conversations, we started to have those in this past summer. But those logistical things are things that we did during the trainings. And I see where you're going, but I feel like the strategy is the overall picture of it, and then the logistics come during the conversations.
That sounds great. Yeah, I mean, that happens in the trainings, which is wonderful.
Because
it's
like
so
it
easy.
Starts there.
Yeah.
Does anybody want to say anything about 1B? Since two of our primary sources for that are new, we're just going to count on them continuing to do
I guess I'm kind of thinking the, I'm always bothered by the assumption that all of our guests are members of congregations. Mm-hmm. That to live faithfully, some people are not associated with the congregation, mm-hmm. and are still living faithful lives. And do they just drop off the radar because they're not in the church? And we don't talk about what they need?
So what are their resources that we provide for them?
Right. So both 1A and 1B, you know, where do those
The word that comes to me is rituals that...
Right.
Creating rituals that could be incorporated in to a worship life corporately or small community or
right.
home, that sort of thing. Does that make sense?
Are you saying that with regards to our practices or the language in this?
Sure.
Both. Okay. Well, to that end, then I think we should have, Diane has Shibashi, and if we could have that in a format for people to take home, that is a more individualized
right.
practice. Some of the yoga people that we have around could maybe put together pieces for people to take home. And then lists of, there are a lot of excellent guided, you know, personal guided meditation or breathing prayer or different devotional practices that. We have in the library, and maybe that should be a resource list that we have. We have these books in our library or in our bookstore. Here are some others that you can look up once you're out. Also,
just even putting, if we had resources that were books or whatever, that they were in the resources for the road,
mm-hmm.
the book list.
Mm-hmm.
For your own,
as simple
so we have for like community worship practices, and then for your own devotional life.
Yeah,
that's too. Mm-hmm. Does that kind of at least
devotional isn't the right word.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. For your own spiritual practices.
Yeah. 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 I guess I'm also thinking of the that's making it a kind of black and white distinction between
uh-huh.
you're either in a church or else you're doing something individually. There's also people who. They just don't even use any of that language, and it's more in a communal
right.
circle of friends. You know, what Anne was doing this evening,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't fit either one of those mm-hmm. ways of talking.
Yeah.
So.
I wonder if I'm
or like, I was going to say, or Diane always uses the example of her spirit group that's been going for years and
right.
years, which
right.
is a group of women that support one another and.
I don't know what they do.
Yeah, I don't think I'm trying to delineate between
right.
like congregation and you as an individual, but like
right.
your personal spiritual practices, whatever they may be, whether they're in a
okay.
large groups, you know, community
okay.
congregation
right.
setting,
okay.
your small groups, you personally on your own.
I wonder if another strategy that might relate to this and might kind of take place of worship or whatever, but. Resources for creating community, finding community, building community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of what worship is about to me, but it's like a much broader category.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's really important, at least from my standpoint, for living faithfully. It's really hard to do it totally on your own. And so resources for building community seems like it might be another category that is a bigger way to think about that.
You know, the other night in Wenatchee, I was at a gathering of Holden people, and I don't remember exactly why it came up, but the way people introduced themselves was organized around the area that they felt the greatest tension between what they come to Holden for and what they don't have in their lives.
Wow.
And it was really, and the word community was probably came up over and over, that they come to get a taste of something and they go back and try to do it in different ways, and
mm-hmm.
this place provides a kind of a hope that it's possible and maybe some ideas, but it was really, really good conversation, but community was clearly the thing that people repeatedly said they hungered for and they have to come and believe it can happen, so they go back and struggle with it some more. So that's, I think it's a really good one.
We've been here almost an hour. I think that's getting close to being long enough. Is there anything that anybody, you know, we can't, I think we can distill some things from this. I think we'll make a report to the community and maybe lift into that group some things that we might like to do and see if there's an affirmation there or a clarification there. So is there anything that you lift up out of this that you say that is a must in the next months?
I really like Scott's study guide idea for congregations or other communities. Small groups of friends or giant churches or in between a single people.
The one thing that, going back to the Spanish part here, if you could develop something of how to do it so that you could pass it down to the churches, because we've tried, you know, and again, we don't have any success because, we get somebody to come once, maybe, you know, and if we don't get a repeat. So, I would say one of the things that I could see that would really be beneficial if you could be successful and then develop something that passes it down.
Even if it's sharing wisdom from now a third year of a committee, what have we learned? Through our newspaper or something. Good perch or something. Let's not beat this up. People are looking tired.
Well, and we'll have an opportunity to give input to the community as well.
So, we'll take this and write it up. Diane can make some notes, and we've got this. We'll compare the two and go from there. Okay. Thanks. And if you have any other ideas, like in the middle of the night, write them down.
Don't come to your door.
Write them down. Put them in my box. Next month. I can't remember the date, but it will be resource. Christopher has it right there. His goal that he works on is
the 14th December.
14th of December, and the goal is exactly
to maintain the facilities.
Buildings and systems in good health.
Sustaining building. You should come back to that one, Everett.
Out of a hat.
Thanks. Thank you.